All the topics and areas we say are important when it comes to creating our peace are things like changes and tweaks and habits and choices we can make that would help us grow and preserve our relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Think about it. What we surround ourselves with, how we spend our precious, non-renewable time, what we set as our priorities, which relationships we choose to invest in, all these things either clear the path or throw up these crazy roadblocks if our goal is to have a deep personal relationship with our Savior and friend, Christ. When we decide what matters to us, and I mean what really matters to us, we can make a few key changes and live a more meaningful life, the one we're dying to live. Hi, I'm Toni Matson, and I'm on a mission to encourage and empower women to live the life God created them for. If you're ready to rediscover your passion, redefine what's important, and recapture the time to live it, well, my friend, you're in the right place. Live the Life podcast is my roll-up-your-sleeves workshop-style show that'll help crack the code of your passion, power, peace, and purpose. I'm a Midwest gal, speaker, author, podcaster, and encourager, and I love all things God, family, and hope. So no matter your season in life, what you do, what you hope to do, or whether we're talking about the tough stuff or the triumphs, I'll be your biggest cheerleader, your loudest fan, and yep, you guessed it, I'll help you live the life God created you for. I'm so grateful you're on this ride with me. So here we go. This is the Live the Life podcast. Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Live the Life podcast. I'm your host, Toni Matson, and I'm so excited you've joined me today. We're going to dive right in and tidy up a subject called peace by nailing our final segment entitled Created to Live It. Let's take a quick peek over our shoulder and remember where we came from the last time we talked a bit about peace. You know what? How about you make sure that you've got your journal and pen ready at hand so that you can roll on with me, all right? Okay, you got it? Wonderful. Okay, we started by first listing three words that describe what living a life of peace will look like and feel like to you, right? Then you listed three areas of your life that you wanted to experience more peace. And if you remember, I asked Connie and Pam the same two questions and then I shared their answers with you. They wanted their peace to look and feel more organized, serene, nourishing, peaceful, inspiring, and healthful. Great choices, right? Next, they chose six areas of their life they wanted to, you know, live more peace. And I took the first three and we chewed on those. And those were routines, home, and schedule. In that, when we were looking at those, I suggested some ways to identify, you know, what areas of your days were really a pain for you, and to create a simple but so effective routine that gets rid of the stress and really kind of ushers in the peace. I chose mornings. That happens to be kind of a, used to at least be a sticky point for me. And we talked about how little bitty changes can make these humongous shifts. Then I gave you some of my, I don't know, maybe tried and true tips and tricks on how creating peace in your home is, you know what, it's just being mindful of what colors you use and if they're harmonious with the energy that you want and if they play nice with the other decor and ambience that you crave, because it's kind of this puzzle, right? You can put it all together and it can really make for a wonderful, peaceful environment. Finally, I gave you one of my all-time best tools to distress your schedule. The one, the only brain dump. Oh, the crowd goes wild. I encourage you to dump it out. Sort through it. Find what really deserves front stage and deal with that first. Because when we do that, often the other things that seem so big, so pressing, and just kind of haunting us really aren't all that big anymore. All right. All right. So you're ready to dive into the last three? I thought you might be. All right. These are clutter, relationships, and me time. Okay. Wow. Nothing like a triple header. I love it. First off, let's remember that there's no one size fits all for any of this. Honestly, I'm just sharing things that have served me well over the years. And you know what? And I've searched, and these are things that have worked, but that doesn't mean they're going to work for you. Stay open, stay curious, and give yourself a lot of grace in this process. It's way okay to try something just to find out that it didn't work. No shame in that at all. But I do think instead of just, you know, kind of shooting in the dark, you may want to make your first step a list of areas that you want to approach first. That gives you a target and maybe even an idea of, you know, of what you're hoping to accomplish. With that, we're going in. So here's a few things that have pulled me out of the twilight zone on more than a few occasions. See what you think of it. See if they make sense for you too. I love, love, love creating a good clutter-free zone. Call me weird, but I actually take it on as a big old challenge and find a, I don't know, sort of a warped sense of fun, catching myself nearly violating it and then stepping back, saying to myself, or maybe even out loud, does that really go there? No, then don't put it there. I know if people actually heard me say that, talk to myself, which I confess I do on a routine basis, I'd probably have some splaining to do, right? You know, that's how it works for me. So do your thing, girl. But don't try to eat the elephant all in one bite. I say start by choosing only a few areas in your life that hit the must-have CF zone. Don't get all enthusiastic and jump into the deep end. Honestly, that's a surefire way of needing somebody to pull you out of the water. Start small and celebrate your successes. This is a perfect scenario where success begets success. This process is really contagious. And the more you do it and feel the results, the more you're going to want to do it. It's that goofy dopamine thing that happens in our noggins. Works well, though. When we declare clutter-free zones, honestly, it reduces our stress. It increases peace and it boosts our productivity. I say that's a huge high five, right? Here's another habit I subscribe to that saves so much time and aggravation. It's the rule of like with like. I'm sure you've heard of it. Here's a good example. I love my sis so much, but she spends more time searching for the little bitty parts of the projects that she wants to do than actually putting those projects together. The golden rule of storing like with like is one that I live by. I love it. Originally, it was kind of purely an SPS for me, sanitary preservation skill that I took on, but it quickly grew into a really satisfying game of round peg, square hole. Again, kind of sounds weird, but if I found something that was stored inappropriately, I'd pull it out and find its rightful home. And it kind of felt like I was rescuing it from homelessness. Okay, that's too dramatic. I get that. But there is a sense of accomplishment when you look over your landscape and you see harmony. It really calms my spirit. And I don't know, if you have not tried this, you really do have to try it because it's pretty cool. And honestly, just think of the time that we would save if our home, our office, our garage, our schedule, even our mind, if they were all clutter-free zones and filed like with like, oh my gosh, what would that be like? I would love it. I would love it. I'm still working on that, but I encourage you, give it a shot. And let's not forget, gals, when our mind is free of clutter, we can think more clearly and make better decisions and choices. And we all know how important it is to make good decisions, right? Good choices. Our life, our future, our destiny, our legacy, all links back to the choices we make. You know what? I think also routinely journaling is a, I don't know, kind of a soothing and super effective way to keep our minds clutter-free. Writing down the thoughts and feelings that seem to be just floating through our mind and even adding our goals and priorities, I think that's really cool. And it's a great way to gain clarity and focus. And who couldn't use just a bunch more of that? My hand is up. I suspect yours might be too. Okay, closing the clutter chapter for now, we're going to move to relationships. Some may think managing all the relationships in our life is kind of undoable. I don't know, but I kind of beg to differ. I won't say that I'm a master at this, but I'm learning to practice what I preach more and more every day. Here's my take. First, there's no doubt that it takes a massive effort and commitment to really strive to have healthy relationships, but it doesn't have to wear us out. And it also doesn't have to make us feel like imposters. That is absolute. But first and foremost, I believe the most important relationship to nurture and grow is ours with God. Yep, ladies, without intentionality and setting time aside to be with Him, love on Him, talk to Him, listen to Him and for Him. By the way, there's a huge difference between listening to Him and for Him. Just chew on that for 1 second. If we don't do that, we don't have a chance of creating real, meaningful, resilient, and life-changing peace. That's my take. That's my wholehearted belief. He's the source. Remember a few episodes ago, I talked about setting your one thing. What's your one thing for the day? And when we chose that and really focused on that, oftentimes the other things became easier. And honestly, some of them didn't even need to be addressed anymore because we honored our one thing. Do you remember that? This is what I'm talking about. When growing our relationship with Jesus is our top priority, He'll help us manage the rest. I promise you that it's true. If you have not tried that, please do. And I'm curious and really looking forward to hearing what your result is on that. So please send me an email, okay? All right. Here's another one. We've got to use clear communication, okay? We all know it's a must in maintaining healthy relationships. And we also all know that it's not easy. We have to be good listeners and we have to make sure that we're honest about how we feel, express ourselves clearly and respectfully always, and that we bite off the tough conversations when we need to. My dad was a really wise guy, wise man. That sounded bad, wise guy. He always said, there's no problems but those that are caused by poor communication. There are no problems but those that are caused by poor communication. I'll let you chew on that one for a while. I have for decades, by the way, and I believe he was spot on. Think about it. When you see conflict, think about what's at the root of it. Often, it is poor communication. Okay, next. Ooh, this is a big one. We have to get good at setting boundaries, not just willy-nilly ones, but ones that make sense and that add to our peace. Right? Let's make a pact, ladies. We will say no when we need to. We will say yes only when we want to. And we give ourselves grace and permission to take a break from socializing and hanging out with somebody when they're robbing us from our peace. If that's the case, gals, remember our personal power in the four P's and how important choices are in creating and preserving our peace. This is one of those situations. If someone that you're hanging with really is robbing you of your peace, you have the personal power to say, I'm just going to take a break. You know what? No condemnation, no criticism, just something that you need to do for yourself. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Another one. Let's really embrace self-care. I just bought a fun sweatshirt that had this bold, flowery self-care graphic on it. And I'm so surprised at the reaction it gets. Honestly, people are going, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. They're pointing at it and smiling, or they're kind of giving me a high five. And so it's a big deal. It really is. I can hear you now. I know. Some of you are saying, okay, geez, if she needs a sweatshirt that hollers self-care, she must really need it, right? Well, maybe. But I believe I'm in really good company because we all need to be kind to ourselves and pay attention to what we need physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. If we're healthier in these areas, I guarantee you we'll have healthier relationships. Pipe down, Pee-wee, in the background. All righty. So here's another. When you're with someone, really be with him. I'll confess, I'm guilty of violating this little pearl now and then, but here's what I've learned. If we're able to be present, and I mean being attentive and looking our person in the eyes, listening to them with the real intent to understand and and to close out any side distractions, that time is gold. Devoting that level and quality of time to someone we care about is often way more than the length of time that we spend with them. This is a perfect case of quality over quantity. Be present, be invested, be engaged, don't be distracted. And even if you were only to give, say, 10 minutes of your time, 10 minutes of that kind of time is worth hours of just a casual in and out sort of conversation. Okay, try it. All right, another. Give grace, receive grace, sing the praises of grace. No relationship is perfect, never will be, not even close to perfect, right? Let's be honest, conflicts are gonna happen. Sometimes they're no big deal, but sometimes they are doozies. And I think we've probably all been involved in both of those kinds. But let's practice forgiving that whole, you know, that beautiful gift of forgiveness to those who offend us, or that there's, I don't know, maybe they just had a bad day and decided to make a comment that really struck us wrong. You know what? Ephesians 4:32 talks about how we need to be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving as God through Christ forgave us. Gosh, that's a high standard, but it's the one that we Christians are called to live. So let's get after it, gals. Let's be the pace setters for forgiveness. What a peaceful world that would create. I'd like to be part of that world. And I'd like to be part of creating that world. The last topic Pam and Connie chose was me time, the often needed but way too neglected time to feed our souls, our spirits, yeah, and our spark. We all have it. But if we don't feed us, we're not going to be able to show it and bless others with it. I think we can all agree that there's just a bunch of ways of doing that, a bunch of ways of enjoying me time. And what I'm going to share is not rocket science, but it might be worth, in, you know, maybe exploring and picking a few to just try and see if any of them resonate with you. First, let me say, me time doesn't need to be complicated or time consuming. We know this. We've seen this in other areas of our life. Even these small little things can make really big differences in how we feel and how we show up in our world. And that's important, right? I'd suggest you look at your planner and make an appointment with yourself. No, really, really. Remember, if it's not in your planner, you're saying it's not important and that we don't value it. Well, we've chewed on this little nugget before, haven't we? If it's not in our planner, we're saying it's not important, and that's not true, right, gals? It's not true. So here's some ideas to maybe reflect on. If you're looking to, I don't know, maybe level up your journaling, try creative writing. Yeah. First off, there's really actual scientific studies that say, because writing requires us to think deeply and use our imaginations and connect the ideas and the experiences that we've lived, creative writing actually can delay the onset of cognitive decline, right? And if you have Alzheimer's in your family tree like I do, this is a great way to stave it off. Huh? Go figure. I figure I should be pretty safe in this area now, considering how long it's taken me to write my first book. More on that later. But brainiacs do say writing about experiences and emotions can help us understand ourselves better in a really, really cool and deep way. And I say, you know what? We might even get a better, clearer glimpse on what makes us tick and moves our personal need. A super me time twofer. Love it, love it. Okay. All right. Try meditating or mindfulness. I'll be the first to say this is a practice and it takes practice. Did I say practice? But ooh, the benefits are remarkable, really, physically, mentally, and oh my gosh, spiritually. Talk about peace and calm and connecting to your inner self and to God. Oh my. This is a real mountaintop one for me. Love, love, love it. And maybe, I don't know, maybe nature's your thing. Sometimes I go for walks and just try to see things from a kind of a new, fresh, never seen before sort of point of view. It makes everything feel really, I don't know, unique. Like I've never seen it before. It's all new. And I don't know, sometimes if I'm really lucky, it really does sort of stir my spirit, my soul, because I look at it from, I'm hoping from God's point of view, but it just really opens me up and I love it. I find that it's a fabulous way to recharge, I don't know, recharge my spirit, but really reconnect with my world. You know what? So whether you're walking or biking, skiing, kayaking, hiking, or just sitting in nature, God created it all for us. And I think taking some time to sit and soak it up is a really good way to say, thanks, God. I know you did this for me, and I am grateful. Another one, do something you're passionate about. And I don't mean just like to do, but something that fills and even overflows your cup. I am a photo nut. I've said this before. Taking something that I consider suitable for framing is the cat's meow for me. What is it for you? Is it painting or music or cooking, crafting? Like my sister-in-law creating one-of-a-kind jewelry. She loves it. She's passionate about it. Whatever it is, make time to do it. Here's the thing. You've already put it in your calendar, right? You put your appointment with yourself in your planner. Now you just have to honor it. Honor yourself by doing it. And my final me time suggestion, it might be the most difficult and brave, maybe that might be a little stretch, but to do a digital detox day, a DDD, if you dare, turn off your phone, turn off your computer, don't check your media, your social stuff, or your messages, just say no. You'll be surprised at how disconnecting to your outside world allows you to reconnect with your inside world. Hallelujah. I love that. I love it, love it. Okay, so before we close this chapter in peace, I want to share the conclusion I came to years ago on all this peace stuff and see if you're drawing a similar one. All the topics and areas we say are important when it comes to creating our peace are there changes and tweaks and habits and choices we can make that would help us grow and preserve our relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Did you see that? Think about it for a second. What we surround ourselves with, how we spend our precious non-renewable time, ladies, what we set as our priorities, which relationships we choose to invest in, all these either, I don't know, they either clear a path or they throw up all these roadblocks. If our goal is to have a deep personal relationship with our Savior and friend, right? Does that I don't know, make you look at your choices a little differently? It did for me. And in fact, it changed things. Oh, so much for the better. It changed things. Take a peek at that. Take a look at that and just see if that's something that makes sense to you. It doesn't have to. Again, I am all about sharing what I know has made a difference in my life over the years. It doesn't mean it's going to make a difference to you. I always encourage you to take in, absorb what resonates with you, leave on the table what doesn't. That's my job and your job at the same time, right? Well, there you have it, my lovelies. I hope this was fun, encouraging, and you know what, most of all, that it gave you a bump in the empowerment end to step out, try something new, stay curious, set a coffee time with yourself and with Jesus. And above all, remember, creating and living our peace is all about the choices we make. Always has been. You know what? It always will be. As I used to tell my boys, make good choices, kids. That goes for you too. Love y'all. God bless. See you next week. Wow, that went by fast, didn't it? Cracking the code and discovering the shifts we can make to live the life God created us for is what our time together is all about, and then some. If this topic resonated with you, I want to know. And if you know someone who needs to hear it, please send them the link to this episode or have them go wherever they get their podcasts. And they'll find me at Live the Life Podcast with Tony Matson or encourage them to visit the podcast page on my website, tonymatson.com, and remind them to become a member of Tony Circle so they get all the freebies and good stuff. After all, that's what friends do, right? Speaking of friends, do you know how much I love hearing from you and so enjoy getting your questions for my Q&A day? Remember, it's every last episode of the month, so please email me at tony@tonymatson.com. And I want you to know how grateful I am that you're on this ride with me. Ugh, it means the world to me. God bless. And ladies, let's live like somebody left the gate open.